Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, gorgeous Glamour gang. How are you? Welcome to our podcast. This is Glamour. This is Hey, It's Okay. I'm Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour. Come and join us in the pod cupboard for some very full and frank discussion on all sorts of utter nonsense, to be quite honest with you. It's just the stuff that we need to get off our chest in the Glamour office. And we've got an absolute belter of a guest today. I can't wait. Hello, James Williams.
Hello, Jo Elvin.
Have you got yourself together?
I have, yes. I'm ready to do this again. I can't even remember what episode we are now. Are we still doing this? How is it?
About 590.
I know.
Or something. Nearly a year, though.
What started as a bit of a joke has actually turned into be something quite...
Very serious. We're taking on the road very soon at the podcast festival.
We really
Don't
are.
Don't mock it.
Please, yes. Come and see us on September 16th. We're part of a festival lineup, Jo. It's like Glastonbury of podcasts.
But before we start bragging about that,
yes.
I mean, honest to God, I am so starstruck today. Do you know who's in this pod cupboard, everybody?
I'm very excited because I'm a bit of a baker and a cook and a big fan of Bake Off.
So. Only Nadia Actual Hussain.
Woo-hoo! I've never had a nonsense conversation in a cupboard before, so this is
well,
fun.
You know, first it's pretty much standard behaviour around here.
Welcome to Hey, It's Okay.
You'll get used to it. We get paid for this. I mean, that's the scandal.
Right?
How are you?
I'm really good.
You look fabulous as always.
Yeah, I'm tired. Makeup, lots of makeup. Just
no,
really tired.
No, you're super annoying. You're super annoyingly gorgeous.
Oh.
It's always been the way.
You're too kind, but like I haven't slept in 5 years.
So. Oh, yeah, oh, well.
The gift of kids, hey?
kids and makeup.
How many kids have you got again?
I've got 3 kids.
What? Well, that was
last
crazy.
Time I checked. Yeah, three. The eldest is nearly 11.
Wow.
And he's nearly as tall as I am, so it's really, really weird.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
It's like a person. I've got one child and she's 12. At the time of recording it's her birthday on the weekend and it's like an actual human.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I know, it's really odd because like you have them and I was 20 when I had my first and the doctor gave him to me and I was like, oh, and I handed over to my mum and I said, so I've got to keep him alive.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
scary,
like an
right?
Actual human.
I always tell the story. The first morning I got home from hospital and it was about 5 o'clock in the morning and I think I was dreaming that I was on an aeroplane. And I could hear this baby crying.
That was you trying to get away.
And in my dream, I was half asleep and half awake going, oh, I wish someone had shut that baby. And then I remembered it was my baby.
Yes.
And I had to get up and do it.
Yes.
That was reality.
Wow. Yes. But talking of babies, though, yeah. You've got a new one, a new book. Do you like what I did there?
I love that.
Seamless link.
I'm holding it.
It is a joy to look at.
Nadia's British Food Adventure. It's out now, right?
It is. It's out.
It's out. Yeah. It's absolutely... joyous. It's got that I want to go home and make this immediately on every page.
I felt like I put on weight just reading it. Especially there's a sweet section which is very dangerous.
Always got to have a sweet section. That's great. I mean, isn't that what a cookbook's supposed to do? You know, I want someone to pick it up and say, you know, I want to make everything in here. And that's fantastic.
Do you think I'm the only person who reads recipe books in bed?
No, no, I do.
I do.
Recipes like my porn. I read a cookbook like some people do dirty things.
I thought you said recipe is like porn. I was like, what?
Recipe books are like my porn. People like have like a thing in bed. I just sit there and read recipe books because I'm a real loser.
And then think, oh, I'm going to make that one day. And then sometimes get around to it.
Yeah.
So, and it's tied to the television show, British Food Adventure. Tell me about it. What was the impetus behind this book and show?
I think I'm really lucky because I'm a part of lots of different worlds and I'm British. And I think I've spent my whole life trying to work out what is being British to me. And a massive part of being British is food. And I think that's where that need to write this book came. And I love writing. I've been writing since I was 7 and I have, you know, I've never stopped. And that's my kind of almost my therapy. And when I got the opportunity, I thought, you know what, I'm not going to write. And I never write without purpose. There has to be a reason why I write, you know, why I'm writing. So for me, it just seemed like the right thing to do because I'm always asking myself that question, like, what makes me British? And I probably will ask myself that question the rest of my life. And I may never have a definitive answer, but God, I'm having a great time trying to find out.
And exploring and,
you know,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, in the process, I've managed to, you know, I've realized that British cuisine is not just pie and mash. You know, it's not just fish and chips.
Well, can I just tell you, I was very excited to see you've done a take on the Welsh cake because that's a proud Welsh man. I was like, yes, putting Welsh cakes on the map. But now you've done something slightly controversial. I'm not sure my late grandmother would approve. But what have you done with them? You've done them quite
so, you know, Welsh cakes are traditionally, they've got raisins in them. So I've kind of made them much smaller. So really, really small. And because traditionally they're quite a big sized kind of cake, aren't they? And I've made them really small. And I've taken the raisins out, put blueberries in, and then added fennel.
Wild.
I'm hoping.
The Welsh people would be up in arms, Nadia, about this lunacy.
I know. I mean, I think that's the joy of cooking, I think. And sometimes we're not all, I mean, not everyone's brave enough or daring enough to say, you know what, I'm going to take this classic and I'm going to turn it into something a little bit different. You know, the integrity of a lot of the recipes and where they've come from are still there. The difference is I've taken them and might have turned them on their head a little bit.
Because doesn't it make you laugh when people get really angry about messing with classic recipes? Like there was that whole fracas recently about Nigella put cream in a linguine or something.
You've taken on the Lamington and I'm Australian. I can't wait.
It's like you wrote this book for me and Joe in mind.
I feel like you guys have lured me into this cupboard. It's like, come here.
Yes.
No, you know what's interesting? Having come from Australia and I've lived, this has been my home for 25 years. I'm a citizen now. I've got the purple passport and I'm not letting it go, Brexiters. I'm having it. But it's, you know, when you think, oh, I'd really like to go and live in London, nobody says, I can't wait to go to London because I hear the food's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think that has changed.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think whilst writing the book and filming the series, what I learned was that I started off by asking myself, what is British cuisine? And if you put that into a search engine, it'll tell you that it's a set of culture, it's a set of skills and etiquette. And come on, it's not just that. That is such a grey area that is, you know, just to say that you cannot, you can't call British cuisine something that is so vague. It's not that vague. It's so colourful. And actually going out and being able to look and find some of the stuff that I found was absolutely phenomenal. And then it just made writing the book and filming the series so much easier.
It's also such a lazy sort of cliche, I think, when people always say, oh, British food is terrible. You know, it's one of those really obvious things, I think, that people just cling to. And I genuinely don't think it's true. Maybe I'm obviously biased.
Oh,
but
listen, my first week here, I ordered a pizza and got sweet corn on it. And that doesn't happen anymore. And to me, that's the symbol that things have gotten so much better since I moved here.
Yeah,
I'm proud of you, Brittany. So tell me about the TV show. What will we be, what's happening on that?
So it's eight parts and it's half an hour and then it sees me going out. So I'll be cooking in my kitchen, but then I go out and I meet food producers and people who have taken something that's quite ordinary and then done something a little bit extraordinary with it. And I've met a woman in Wales who makes rose water, the only person in the country who makes Welsh rose water.
Wow.
I mean, see, there's
I didn't know about this.
Exactly.
Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with putting blueberries in the Welsh cakes.
I'm
going to
try
saying.
Them. I'm going to try before I judge, as it should be.
Give them a go.
It didn't sound like you were going to do that.
I am. No, yeah. I really am. I'm quite excited.
You've got to let me know how that works out
for you.
I will.
I'm going to.
Good. But I travelled up to Scotland and met a forager who can make an actual curry that has got no spices in it, but just out of foraged leaves.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's mad.
Exactly. And that's what that's
what just did it taste like?
Like a curry. It was a mushroom curry.
Wow.
It was bizarre, but I mean, nothing like the curry that I would cook or that I've grown
Seems
up
Seems like a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort. But yeah. You know what's lovely is that you meet people who are a little bit mad and who are really into, you know, really are passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
And that's what's lovely, because I got to meet them and it didn't feel like I was going and filming with people I didn't know. We just got straight into it and we had a good time. And it, you know, it's for me, it's really nerve wracking because it's my first series. But to be able to write the book and do the series at the same time, it just eased me in so well. And I had such a good time. And for me, like I said, I always do something. If it has purpose, then I'll do it. And that's what it felt like at the end, that I got some answers.
But you've always, and I mean, I know you're going to sort of like deflect this compliment because that's what you are, but you've always had a television presence even from the first day. Is that something that, you know, that has surprised you, that, you know, because you do come across so well on television?
Yeah, I
think it has surprised me. I didn't, you know, when you go in, you don't, like, I suffer with panic disorder and it's so debilitating sometimes, and other days it's just a little niggle and I can just get on with life. But other days, you know, some days I can't get out of bed. So for me, my husband, you know, he said, look, you know, you've spent 8-9 years at home with the kids, you have practically given us everything that you can, and just you've lost yourself in the process. And I think that comes with being a wife and a mother and being a stay-at-home mum. And I think he'd forgotten who I was, and he said, look, you need to do something away from me. And so that's what I did. And I didn't go on there to win a bakery show. I went on because I could do a Victoria sponge. And that's all it was. And he just you got to do this.
But I love the fact that you suffer from that kind of disorder, which can be so crippling. And then you go on the biggest rated TV show to cook on TV. I mean, that is amazing in a way. You've got some major kahunas there, girl. That's amazing.
When my husband said, look, I'm going to apply and I think you should do it. And I said, no, I'm not going to get in. And then I'm going to be really depressed. And then I got in and I said, so what am I supposed to do now? Like, I got in and he said, so go and do it.
Thanks for making me do this.
Yeah. And then he said, go and do it. And he said, just don't get kicked out week one, because that'd be really embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Confidence boost.
Does it feel like forever ago now, Bake Off?
It does. Oh, it's nearly 2 years now. Yeah. It's been nearly 2 years. So I can't quite believe where 2 years have gone. But I have done some of the most amazing things. And everything I've done has scared me witless. And that's something I learned about myself, was that I never used to scare myself. I used to do things that were safe. And that's what I've learned about myself. And with anyone suffering with panic disorder, is sometimes you need to come outside of your comfort bubble and then you need to scare yourself just a little.
It's good to scare yourself. You have that Tina. Is it Tina Fey, the quote you always come out with?
Oh, it's like her quote that I love is, just say yes and you'll figure it out afterwards. Yeah. It's one of my favorite quotes.
That.
But when you are thinking, oh, I'm terrified and I'm, you know, but I'm going to make myself do this, what's the thought process? What do you tell yourself to get out the door, to speak?
I always say, what would you tell the kids?
Right.
Because what we always lie to our kids, isn't that what parenting is? We always tell them it's going to be okay and don't be scared. We tell them that but they are going to be scared and it is terrifying. But we always lie to them to make them feel better, because we want them to believe in themselves. And I spent my whole life telling myself, you know, I didn't do what I did with my kids. I never said to myself, look, you'll be fine, just do it. I used to remind myself that the truth is you're scared and you are going to fail miserably. And that's the difference. That's what I do now, is I'm much better parent for it, because I'm not lying anymore. You know, like, I'm actually saying, you know what? You are going to be scared. I tell my kids all the time, it's scary and you're going to be scared. And there are things going to happen in life that are going to scare you witless. But do it, because there is so much. It's so much nicer to be on the other side of fear.
And have you had the experience? Have you just found that, you know, you thought you were going to fail and you didn't? Or sometimes I think it's important to fail and realize that actually you're still going to be breathing at the other side of that.
Yeah, I think sometimes you think when you fail, that's it, the world is going to stop and everything will be over. And it's like when you're on a diet and you eat a packet of crisps and you're like, oh, that's it, I'm off, I can't do this anymore. And then you realize, no, you can just have a salad, you'll be fine. Yeah. And that's it. And I think that's what it is, yeah.
Have a salad, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
That is a good life philosophy.
Good words to live by.
Yeah. Or cake.
Yeah. A cake, preston, much better.
Yeah.
Ready for this, Nadia?
I am.
This is like proper, real glamour chat now. Mm-hmm.
We'll be gentle. Not really.
No. Nadia picked this topic, which I think is a hot potato and a can of worms, all kind of like congealed into one.
Love it.
So, is it okay, guys, to say no to going to that friend's wedding or the hen do or the baby shower? Do we have to feel guilty about that?
No.
Next topic.
Yeah. No, don't go. I have, at first, I remember I used to make up lots of excuses and lie and say, oh, I've got this going on, or like I had a baby 6 years ago, so I can't possibly come.
Yeah,
lots of really feeble excuses. And now I just say, nope. Don't send me the invite because I don't want to go. Okay. And that's it. I just don't turn up.
That is harsh.
But you're quite upfront with saying you're not going. You don't just not show up.
No.
You say from the get-go, no, I'm not going.
No, I'm not going.
And there's no exceptions.
Apart from immediate blood relatives.
Right.
And I have one brother left to get married and one brother-in-law. And they're the only two weddings that I will ever attend. I will never attend anything else.
I think you and I may be on the same side of the fence here, in that I think you're either someone who's really into weddings or really not. And I'm sorry, I love you and I'm really happy for your union, but I just don't get off on them. And some people do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It seems a very...
It depends, doesn't it? Because sometimes they can be so long.
There's always dry chicken.
The timing of weddings.
That dry chicken.
You do get bad food and they're too long. Like some people start their weddings at like 11 in the morning. No, start it at like 4 o'clock. I just think if you start a wedding that early, you're just basically serving everyone up to be rat-ass drunk far too quickly and peak too soon. And then
probably not at a Muslim wedding, right?
Because, I mean, like South Asian weddings, they tend to be really big and you don't know everybody. And like my own wedding was something like 2,000 people.
Oh my God.
I didn't know any of them. The only people I knew were my parents, my in-laws. I didn't even know my husband very well. So
I don't know if I would have shown up to my wedding if there was 2,000 people.
No.
That's like...
I would have... I could have easily got married on Skype. It would have worked better for me.
I mean, that's like a dream I have where... They sort of like strap a guitar on me and throw me out on stage, and I know I can't sing or dance. That would feel like that to me.
Yeah, it's quite scary, and I think that's what's put me off because they are so big and they're not fun because there's too much happening. And I think with me, I don't like weddings now because I don't like being told what to do. Because when it's the wedding, I think bride and groom are always really, they're the ones that control every aspect of the wedding. And then they're like, well, if you turn up at 4, we'll feed you at 7 o'clock, and you just have to sit there and take it. And I can't cope with that.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. And now I just make it a thing. I'm like, no, I am not turning up. I don't get invites anymore, which is a good place to be.
Yeah. And do you feel the same way about things like, you know, like 30th and 40th birthday parties and all that? Because that's what I'm going through at the moment. You know, everyone's kind of turning 40. And so, you know, and they're getting more and more elaborate. And I say that because I started it because I took everyone off to Mykonos for mine. But now, so I'm going to Bali and Ibiza for
and
two,
now
four.
I bet you don't want to go anymore. You're like, well, I don't want to go.
But it's not exactly cheap. That's the problem. So, but, you know, obviously I do want to go. And I'm treating it as my holidays, but it does feel like now, even like going back to the wedding thing, it's like it's not just the wedding, it's the stags and the hens, and it's not a local down your pub sort of stag or hen, it's some elaborate trip somewhere.
And this is where I think it's fine to just say no, because I don't understand why the hen do is now the hen weekend or 3-dayer, and then there's all the things, you know, everybody's got to organize all this extra enforced activity around all of these.
Because organising a wedding is exhausting enough. You don't need to organise another thing on top of it. I just think, why are you making it work for yourself?
I just don't get invites anymore. Nobody cares about me.
So when your children one day in the future get married, will it be the 2,000...
I mean, I may turn up to their wedding. Maybe I'll think about it. I've got a few years.
You might make an exception.
Maybe. We'll see.
I love it. You're on the fence, so that's amazing.
Like if they're going for the whole 2,000 thing, not happening.
Well, you know, I mean, if you can find something nice to wear, if you can't.
Also, they'll expect you to cater it, won't they? Make the wedding cake and all that kind of stuff.
No doubt I'll be paying for it. And if I'm paying for it, then I'm going to say, well, I don't need to come then, do I? I've done my bit.
Also, if you're paying for it, you do not want 2,000 people there.
No,
that catering bill is not cheap.
No. Actually, speaking, you've touched on something there. Do you find now everybody wants you to cook for them?
Well, not necessarily. I think everybody wants cake, so
even the Queen wanted a cake by Nadia and she got one. I mean, now you've done that, that's it, the benchmark set pretty high,
so
right?
I kind of have to do most birthday cakes in the family, but in my house, like, you know how if you turn up at my mum's house, she always has samosas and a cup of tea, and that's traditional. Okay. So that's, which is lovely, sweet and salty and spicy. It's all really nice. But if somebody turns up at my house, I have 4 cake stands and there's always something in each one.
And what's your address?
There's always cake. I can give you everything.
Oh my God, it's dangerous to know you, Nadia.
I can give you cake for sure.
Wow. Does it ever stop being a passion though? You know, are you worried about people, you know, grinding you down with making the passion the chore? Do you know what I mean?
No, I think what's lovely is that I get to recipe test and create new recipes, and then I tidy up, and clearly I'm mad as a box of frogs because I'll tidy up and then I'll say, right, what shall I bake? And I'll have baked like 7 or 8 different things, and the kids are like, what are you doing? Like, they And sometimes I think it's passion mixed with lunacy a little bit.
I think there's sort of the two sides of the same coin sometimes.
But also, and I understand why you haven't got time to go to anyone's wedding. You're just constantly baking.
Exactly.
So, you know. So.
That's when they get to ask for a wedding cake. And I'm like, right, I can do that, but I'm not coming.
I'm not coming or eating it.
So but. I think it's totally fine to say no to the wedding. But I don't know if I'd have quite the balls of Nadia Hussain to say no. I think I'd definitely come up with some airtight excuse that sounded plausible.
It's a case by case for me. I made a pact a long time ago that I now only go to weddings of people I genuinely love. Because you do tend
to
get...
always a good...
Because I think they're expensive. They're expensive. Yeah. They're a hassle. And, you know, you don't mind doing that for somebody you genuinely care about, somebody you genuinely want to see, you know, marry the love of their life. You want to be there.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody you've kind of met a few times or there is a Facebook acquaintance, you don't really need to be there, do you? And it's a lot of money and then you get a bit resentful. So I'm kind of halfway house here. So,
oh, well, that's not very in the spirit of the podcast.
No, I know, but
I'm going to let you get away with it.
Nadia's rule. Nadia's rule. She says no.
No. Nope.
You don't go. Happening. Don't go. Not happening.
Not happening.
And now it is the law.
It's final.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I feel like I know what Nadi's going to say. This, based on the last topic, is it okay to enjoy being alone? I mean, I don't know who came up with this topic, but obviously the fact that it even exists means that some people feel guilty about enjoying being alone, but I don't. Yeah.
No, I definitely don't feel guilty about being alone, but... I think since I've been a mother, I think that's where I feel the most guilt as a mother. And I think there's a lot of woman on woman hate. And like, you have these conversations and you sit in play group and sit with the kids and you hear about all the different conversations. And they're all sitting, sometimes you sit there and a couple of conversations I've heard and they're like, oh, you know, we spend every moment together and this is what we do. And I'm never away from my child.
Well, that's
like,
protesting too
come
much.
Come on. Yeah. Then you're like, course you don't, you know, so it's just a bit I struggled. I know very early on when I had the kids, the thought of leaving them alone because somebody else would know I'm leaving them alone scared me more than actually leaving them alone.
Oh my god, that's like, really terrible.
Yeah. So it was more about what everybody else would think as opposed to the fact that I needed a bit of time away from the kids. So
I don't ever feel, I don't know. I used to really, I'd probably get a couple of hours a week and not 2 hours together where somebody would come in and say, why don't you just go and do your own thing? And I never felt guilty about that because it's full on.
Yeah.
It's so full on.
Being a parent, obviously, yeah. I mean, I think as a non-parent though, I can understand where you're coming from. And actually, this ties into our last topic, but I do think it's true. There's a bit of sort of parent guilt and shaming because going back to the wedding thing, you know, when people get told, I've got some friends who get really offended when they're invited to weddings and told it's a child-free wedding. And then I've got some friends who literally rejoice and can't wait to book their hotel and get away from their kids for a night.
I'm going to put my hand up for that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think you're totally right. I think there really is that weird thing that some people actually think it's a terrible sort of, you know, reflection of your parenting that you want to be away from your child for a night.
Do you know what I should do? I should send the kids to the wedding. Then I get my alone time and they get to go to the wedding.
And they're like representing you.
Yeah.
They can deliver the cake.
Exactly. They can do all of that and I could be at home.
But do you, I'm sure, I don't think you have to be a parent to have this phenomenon where you occasionally find myself at home when The daughter now has her own social life that's much more raging than mine. The husband's, at work. And I suddenly think, oh my God, I'm on my own and there's nobody phoning me or talking to me. And I get kind of a little bit giddy with not knowing what to do because it's so rare.
What do you do with yourself?
I kind of implode with the possibilities and do nothing and then maybe...
By then they're back.
And then put on a load of laundry and, you know, and then that's my life.
I mean, yeah, I don't feel bad at all, but just because you do sometimes think, oh, you know, I should be out there embracing life. But yeah, there's something to be said for just being at home on your own, on your sofa. That's living life too.
I think I used to feel really bad because I was a stay-at-home mom, so I spent pretty much all day, every day with them. And, you know, to the point where, you know, you're sat on the loo and they're like, mommy, can I stop locking the door. Mommy, can I come in? You're on the loo. They're on your lap. You're like, this is fun. Is this what it's all about? And then you just kind of, you're so engrossed in your children that you almost forget that you need that time alone. And now I'm not at home with them as much, I feel even more guilty when I do want some alone time, because now I don't see them that often. So it's kind of I'm between two. So I know when I do have alone time, I still feel really guilty about it.
But I also find that I only realized recently, I think I did a quiz in Glamour magazine where you know, people would be surprised because I'm, you know, I'm confident. I'm quite happy to chat in front of a crowd and all of those sorts of things. But I am quite introverted. I realize that I get to a point in a day or a week where I physically need a little bit of, almost like a reboot and a bit of a downtime.
Alone time.
Yeah, I really do.
But I think it's well because of your job. You've always got somebody needing to come and see you about something, don't you? That's so, you know, you do have a lot of FaceTime. So I would imagine, alone time for you probably is a bit of a sanctuary.
Sometimes. Yeah. Not much. Just almost like being a phone plugged in. I just need a bit of a recharge sometimes. And what does it is that just that moment to have a breath, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it's one of those things as well? I think, again, we're going to blame poor old social media. We're going to blame it. But I think, you know, I think on Instagram, you're supposed to be living this full, you know, amazing life. Like, you're full of adventures and going out there seizing it and partying and festival. Yeah. And I look at things like Glastonbury now and I'm like, nope. I'm quite happy watching it on my sofa on my own. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I think, is that just an age thing?
When you get texts and say, what, you haven't done an Instagram story today? It's like, no.
Who does that?
Yeah, Instagram story. It's quite a lot of fun if you're doing anything interesting.
Someone texts you to tell you to do it.
Yeah, like, are you not doing an Instagram story today? It's like, no. It's like, well, that's no good. It's like, well, what do you want to see? I have done nothing but laundry today.
I'm enjoying my alone time.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my alone time.
Wow. That's when you know you're a social media star, when people are like angry with you. Like, you know, it's like,
where's that Insta story?
It's like, I think my followers are like, you know, it's like, oh, there she is again after 2 days. No one cares if I turn up or not. But if you're Nadia, don't you dare be thinking about not doing an Insta story.
Well, in that case, I will document every bit of laundry, every bit of toilet cleaning I do.
There's another TV show in that, surely.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
A ratings winner, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so.
The Great British Laundry Off.
No.
Honestly, they're developing it right
they
now.
They really are.
I bet you.
I'm copywriting it as you speak.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, we're all in agreement a bit today, aren't we? We're all happily being alone. Although I'm enjoying your company now.
I did not want to have a fight with Nadia. I couldn't go on.
I love a girl with an opinion and she's got one. We like it.
Is it okay, Nadia and James, to put something on your to-do list just to tick it off, just to have that little satisfying...
Well, it's to me, I'm not a to-do list doer.
No, I
think that because I've raised 3 kids, I'm like this superhuman. And I'm like, I made them and I am keeping them alive. So my brain works perfectly fine. I am going to use it and expend every bit of energy keeping this list in my head. And I think it's partly because I think I'm superhuman and partly because it's pure defiance towards my husband, who has a list for everything. Now, just to give you a kind of example of what kind of lists he does. So he will keep, like, on his notes on his phone, he'll have a list. But before I've finished my working day and I've got home, he will send me a list and say, these are the things that we need to talk about that need actioning tonight.
Wow. The chairman of the board has spoken.
That's impressive.
So I mean, as much as I'd like to do a list, I just won't out of pure defiance. You know, it's defiance. Yeah. It's like, no, you know what? You have your list and I have my head.
And does it make him really tense that you won't do a list?
Yes. Yeah. He's like, why don't you put everything down on a list so you can tick it off? And he will... He will even put things like, drop the kids off to school, tick.
Yeah, well, you don't want to drop the ball on that one, Nadia. It's easily forgotten. Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what we're talking about, isn't it? Doing something on your, writing something on your list just so you can tick it off. That's pretty much there, isn't it? It's a bit like saying, get up.
The world is,
you know.
The world is divided into list writers and list deniers. And I'm a list denier.
Me too.
You know why? I cannot actually, I used to work with a woman, Kath Brown. Hi, Kath. I know you. She was my first proper boss. And she used to get so upset, like your husband, that she used to think, how can you remember everything? Why won't you write it down? And we used to have these furious fights about whether or not I would do a list. But what she didn't appreciate is if I write a list, nothing stresses me out more than having a black and white list
to see
of
it all.
Everything I've got to do. I can't bear it.
No.
It is funny because I'm with you. I'm not a list maker. But when I recently got promoted, I thought, right, I'm going to be really organized now. And I started for the first 2 days. I did start doing the to-do list. And I did. I actually crossed everything out. And it was quite a nice feeling, actually. Mm-hmm. So I will say there's something for it, maybe. But to be honest, it lasted 2 days.
No,
I haven't made one since.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're younger than me. I used to have a really amazing memory. And I don't now. So every now and again, I put on Facebook a little while ago, I wrote a list today. Have to admit that works a bit, doesn't it? But because I do forget things more now than I did.
I have all that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Somebody made a really good point the other day as well. They said basically now your email inbox is almost your to-do list / checklist.
Yeah, that's true.
If you think about it, most things now come to you via email. Or even if you have a conversation with somebody, you'll say, oh, email me about it. So if you think about it, you go through your inbox and that's pretty much your list of things you've got to get at the door, right?
Yeah.
Or you have to deal with. So I'm a big believer.
I thought it was just to chat to my mates.
There is that too. That's what WhatsApp's for, Joe. But you know, so I think it really, you could embrace that in a way, I suppose.
I mean, I've tried doing the list thing and I've done it and then I've shown my husband because I was so proud of my list. I was like, look, I've done a list and this, look at it. And he's like, yeah, you haven't really done it very well. You should. So he then doesn't think my lists are done well or accordingly.
Does he have like an Excel spreadsheet?
Yes.
Like, oh my God, you're kidding.
Yes, he does. So just during Bake Off, just this is how pedantic this man is. Love him. But during Bake Off, he wrote down every single recipe that they did and put it in an Excel in every single series, which is up to six, you know, five series. And then he tried to guess what technical it could potentially be.
Oh my God.
And he never got it right.
Oh, it's his game.
He was trying also, to help.
That is true love.
Yeah,
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, but then he did say, don't get kicked out week one because that would be so embarrassing. I think he was trying to save himself a little bit.
I mean, what's good about this today is I have had this. I mean, your husband is obviously so lovely and he's so handsome.
So handsome.
Yeah, he's all right.
But we now know he's not perfect.
And he's a massive list
really
maker.
Really making me feel better.
Makes me feel better.
He's really lovely and really handsome, but he's a list maker.
I mean,
come on.
I know. How he found a wife.
I was going to say, good job he's taken, because that would be a real buzzkill on Tinder.
On the shelf.
I mean, come on. He won the love lottery. Let's face it. He did.
But also, so he doesn't seem to put on weight. How is that possible?
I know.
Do you just give away all the cakes? Does he not eat them?
Yeah, he thinks it's disgusting. He hasn't even looked at the book. He's done. No, he runs 7.5 miles every single day so he can eat cake. Yeah, okay. Every day. He runs so
is
he
Is that
can
the
eat
secret?
Yeah, 7 miles. It's pretty impressive.
He always says, if it's going in, then it's got to come out.
That almost makes up for the list making. Not quite.
Almost, but he eats everything I make and usually is really complimentary and likes everything. So that always helps. So he's my official taste tester.
What's the favorite family dish?
From the new book as well. Is there a new thing they've discovered? Like,
they absolutely love the crispy chocolate tart. So it's like a crisp...
Kat, our social media editor, who's normally producing the podcast, not here today, is one of your biggest fans, and she made it.
Yeah.
And she said it's amazing. But wait a second, isn't there salted crisps in it?
The base is made out of salted crisps.
You're the devil.
I know.
Yeah.
You really are playing with us, aren't you?
It's disguised in a headscarf.
I'm going to be, I keep saying to my husband, oh, there's the nicest looking strawberry and mint baked cheesecake in there that I want to make. And he said, I know, you keep going on about
just
it.
Make but that's it.
Just make it already.
Yeah, I know. But I've wanted to keep the book here until we'd seen you. So.
That and popcorn mussels. So, So mussels taken out their shell and dipped in a batter and then fried.
Wow.
I call them popcorn because you can eat them like popcorn.
Wow.
By the end of testing, we had literally eaten half the ocean. It was shocking how much. The kids kept saying, and my kids have become really sneaky. They say, oh, Mommy, I think that didn't have enough salt. Could you recipe test that again, please? That means they want some more.
Have you converted somebody with one of your sort of Jedi mind trickery cookery? Like these? I can imagine that might even persuade people who don't like mussels to eat mussels.
Yeah, I think quite often with things like curries, you know, people are quite scared of curries because it's quite a lot of spices and they're kind of afraid of the process because it takes a long time. And
just shout out to my mother-in-law at this point.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, there is a chicken tikka masala in there that is made with tomato soup. And
wow.
Yeah. And it's so simple and it's so easy and it takes a lot of the kind of cooking down process out of it. And it's like you can get a curry on the table in 40 minutes. And that's what it's all. And wow, I had a friend who had never fed her kids curry. And I said, well, bring them over. Let's see what. And now they're like, nope, we just want Nadia's curry, which is great.
Amazing. She's clever, isn't she? I think there might be a career for her in this cooking thing. I think maybe.
I hope so.
Might take off for you, I think, at some point.
Keep plugging away, dear.
Just, I will,
you
keep
know,
trying.
Write a list of all the things you want to do.
Yes. In summary, those list makers can go do one. We're not going to start doing it.
We're not doing this.
You make us tense. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. Thank you so much, Nadia Hussain, for being here today.
Thank you.
Everybody, go out and enjoy Nadia's British food adventure. It is beautiful and it really makes you want to cook absolutely everything in the movie. And thank you for listening to Glamour Hey, It's Okay, you guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.